This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Greetings. Welcome to this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. Today we want to talk a little bit about some innovations, I guess we could say, in legal tactics. They may not be all that new, but it's a word that relatively new to me anyway, lawfare. And it's the idea of using the law against that which you don't like. In this case, people such as Muslims use the law against people to try to accomplish their objectives, which they have not been able to accomplish fully through other means. There's actually, happily, a group that's been established to deal with this problem called, not too surprisingly, the Lawfare Project. And to give us a little bit of education about this is Dr. Andrew Harrod, who is a fellow at the Lawfare Project and has written rather extensively about Islam and how they have been, shall we say, an overlooked problem for so many of us here in the West. Dr. Harrod, thank you very much for what you do and for being with us.
Oh, it's excellent to be here, Larry. Thank you very much for having me.
The Lawfare Project, why don't you give us a little background on it, because I think people need to know about it.
Well, the Lawfare Project is a group headed up by Brooke Goldstein, and as their name suggests, Lawfare, a combination of law and warfare. Yeah, it examines issues of using, trying to sort of shape laws, twist laws in such a manner that you can aid and abet the various enemies of the West, with a focus precisely on sort of jihadist, pro-Sharia Islamist groups that can take the take on issues of, say, laws of war vis-a-vis Israel or other Western countries under various jihadist terrorist attacks from various groups. Or another issue that I personally have dealt with a lot is issues involving free speech. That is where you, there are various stratagems by Muslim organizations internationally and in, domestically in various free societies like the United States, to use, say, hate speech laws or other laws to try to suppress criticism of Islam in general or particular groups. I've written about this topic for the another entity, the Middle East Forum, and they have their own Lawfare Project on this issue, distinct from the Lawfare organization, which was later founded by some individuals who had previously worked for the Middle East Forum, like Brooke Goldstein. But there at the Middle East Forum for their Lawfare Project, I've written about various cases involving, say, use of hate speech laws or blasphemy laws around the world, even attempts in the United States to suppress speaking events that would be critical of Islam in general or of particular groups. So you can then, with such stratagems, you can shut down the debate on any and all issues involving this faith and achieve a certain political, theological supremacy there.
You know, it's interesting that this concept of hate speech is something that doesn't get employed as a weapon just by Muslims, but the left in general, and I would include Islam in that, the left in general seems to have developed so far fairly effective strategy of saying, oh, what you say is hateful to me, that's offensive to me, you shouldn't be allowed to say something that's offensive. Well, I'm sorry, I don't really enjoy offending people most of the time, but the First Amendment is actually all about protecting somebody who's a jerk saying things that you really can't stand to hear him say. Unless he's standing with a pack of matches and a gallon of gasoline saying, let's burn this theater down, we really don't have too much that we can do about what somebody says. And yet Islam seems to have found a fairly effective means, the Lawfare being a great example of what they're up to. And, man, am I glad you guys are trying to deal with it.
Well, as my friend and colleague Deborah Weiss has noted, who also has written a lot on this topic, for the Center for Security Policy, among others. She's written a book dealing in particular with the longstanding drive of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, a 57-member nation member organization. If you include, they include Palestine as a member nation. It's actually the largest grouping of nations at the United Nations. And for years now, for a decade over more, they've pushed for this at various United Nations bodies like the Human Rights Council for this Resolution 1618 that would seek to prohibit defamation of religions. In the original version, long since modified, it actually only singled out Islam as one example of a religion that was being defamed. But they've, for many years now, the OIC, this Organization of Islamic Cooperation, has pushed this and other measures to attempt to get sort of a de facto blasphemy provision around the world. And here in the United States, as she and others have noted, we do indeed, as you know, have the First Amendment, which is a really high barrier to any such attempts by Muslim groups or also the left to suppress speech. But other countries around in Europe and Canada and so forth do not have that same high wall, strict scrutiny protecting free speech. They have, say, hate speech laws often, even some various laws regarding things like blasphemy or insult to religion. And there's more margin, there's more maneuver to really have a chilling effect on speech or things criticizing phenomena like Islam.
It's very concerning that we have so many people in our universities that have taken to the notion that certain speech is good, namely that which they agree with, and other speech is hateful and hateful. They've not told us where this idea actually has its legal roots, but they tell us that, well, obviously if it's hateful, it has to be banned, has to be punished. And that seems to be something that they're increasingly successful in getting us to say, well, yeah. How do we deal with that?
Well, I think one thing you need to recognize, the tactics of many groups, for example, if you look at the Southern Poverty Law Center, this leftist attack dog group that always sort of posits itself as this great monitor of hate groups. It's
right.
Responsible for, you think of the Steve Scalise shooting. He was targeted by them as a hater, and then later was subject to almost getting killed at a baseball game with a congressional members. Also, the Family Research Council was tagged
yes.
by them as a hate group along with others. In 2012, I believe, if I recall, almost got shot up by this guy when they're homosexual activists. This is a key tactic of the left. If you just simply want to brand anyone as a hater and thereby shut down just any argument, you just want to just tar someone, and in that way, for example, you see increasingly among groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations and others that they always talk about white supremacy. They constantly try to link anyone and everyone to white supremacy, and they're making these constant references to white supremacy, talking about, say, for example, Act for America, this group under Brigitte Gabriel currently holding its convention here in the Washington, D.C. area that is a hate group, and it's linked to white supremacy. So it's sort of this red herring, this canard that's thrown out that you're just all a bunch of Klan members and so forth.
Yep.
And you just find that increasingly common to just slander anyone and remove them from debate.
You know, the Council for American Islamic Relations, CARE, is known, well known, it's not a disputed issue at all, to be financed in part by Hamas through the Holy Land Foundation, I guess, and who knows what other avenues they've developed. These folks are simply the U.S. Spokesman for Murder Incorporated in the Middle East. Hamas. And I think it's just stunning that we don't hear Hamas identified in conjunction with CARE every time CARE's name comes up. And it really ought to be, I think, the same with the Southern Poverty Law Center. If they can't see a threat of terrorism from CARE, then it seems to me they themselves are partnering with these kinds of organizations. And the irony is that the very group, Southern Poverty Law Center, that says it's set up to protect minorities is probably, au contraire, one of the biggest threats to minorities. We're coming into a break, talking today with Andrew Harrod, a fellow at the Lawfare Project, and we're dealing with the subject of how in the world do we think about Islam and what do we do about it. We're going to be back after these messages. Don't go away.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-6540. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-6540. That's 1-800-972-6540. 1-800-972-6540.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest today is Dr. Andrew Harrod, He writes for numerous organizations. He's identified as a fellow with the Lawfare Project. And actually, I think, Dr. Harrod, I first learned about you through some of your writings at Jihad Watch, one of which not long ago dealt with the question of Islamic reform. Is it possible to reform Islam? And I guess before we try to answer that question, we ought to first address what is it in Islam, apart from whether it can be reformed, would need to be reformed?
Well, one article that I wrote about recently, I believe, caught your attention was, I'm a contributor at Jihad Watch. Another organization I've written for in the past is the Religious Freedom Coalition, headed up by William Murray. And recently, last summer or early in last May, I wrote an article concerning the testimony of Ayan Hirsi Ali before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security, I believe it was, here on Capitol Hill in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. And Ayan Hirsi Ali has written extensively on issues involving Islam, given her past as a Somali refugee, a person from Somalia, actually herself went through things, being raised in a Muslim family, went through things like undergoing female genital mutilation,
right,
and sought to escape an arranged marriage in her family.
I think she knows something about Islam, don't you?
Yeah, I'd say so. If I recall correctly, he's written about this. She herself attended the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca with her family. Ayan Hirsi Ali, currently in the United States at the American Enterprise Institute, she's written extensively about Islam and noted this distinction between what she calls a Mecca and a Medina agenda. And she discusses that's based upon the biography of Islam's prophet Muhammad, where he started out in Mecca in the Arabian Peninsula in the 7th century as merely sort of a preacher claiming that he had received this revelation from God. He was the final prophet of God, and calling people then to this faith of Islam. But then actually did not obtain that much success in Mecca among the Arabs there, the pagan Arabs, as a preacher, and later was forced through a sort of a hostility oppression in Mecca to migrate with some of his followers to the nearby city of Medina. Now, it was in Medina that Muhammad's Muslim followers and the various tribes of Medina, including various Jewish tribes, first formed a political community, the sort of prototypical Islamic political community. And it was from there that Muhammad would begin exerting a political and indeed military role, leader of a sort of proto-state. And if you talk, for example, to Shadi Hamid, I'm forgetting his name, at the Brookings Institution, who's written about the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam, and other such topics, he notes that, you know, founding moments in a faith matter, and that this political military role of Muhammad as a founder of Islam is, of course, distinct from the role of Jesus, say, as a Messiah in Christianity, that, you know, he talks about, Jesus talked about, my kingdom is not of this world, and he then, in his earthly life here, exercised no direct political role, but gave a message to his followers, which, well, then influenced his followers, has a moral sort of political effect, but there's no sort of theocratic structure than in Christianity. But you know, Islam is distinct, and so the question for reforming Islam that Ayan Hirsi Ali and others bring up is that, can you separate out what she calls this political Medina doctrine, this entire edifice of Sharia law or jihad warfare against non-believers, from any sort of purely personal, pious understanding of Islam, of what Ayan Hirsi Ali calls a Mecca agenda, of just simply a personal faith of various Muslims around the world? So that's a key question, whether that splitting the difference can be pulled off.
Well, especially when the supposedly more peaceful Mecca version of Islam seems to be held in contempt by the followers of later Muhammad, the Muhammad the warrior, Muhammad the jihadi, Muhammad the liar, the treaty breaker, the guy that enshrined the Arabic word for lying into Muslim belief. It seems to me that we've got a fundamental difficulty in trying to make nice with somebody who subscribes to full-blooded, hot-blooded, cold-blooded murdering Islam.
Well, I've written about that issue as well. There's a recent book I reviewed at Jihad Watch this summer, written by another Jihad Watch contributor, Christine Douglas Williams, on Islamic reform. And one key difficulty with any such reform project is that Islam has the doctrine of abrogation in the Quran and holds that the chronologically later verses and appearance and revelation of the Quran, which indeed involves precisely Muhammad's time as this political military leader of this proto-state in Mecca, then supersede, abrogate earlier verses, say, from the Meccan period, which tend to be much more peaceful, much more tolerant. And there's also just a basic question, too, that the politics of Islam on the one hand come from the same source as the piety of Islam on the other hand, namely this person Muhammad, the supposed final prophet of God, who's after all of the supposed corruption of all various religions throughout human history of Judaism, Christianity, and others has supposedly set down the one true revelation of God that is eternal with God, but has been inappropriately received by Jews and Christians throughout history. So there's a question of how would you try to reform out or divide out these elements of Muhammad's life, of his canonical life and his supposed canonical revelation. I mean, you say, I believe what Muhammad said about piety on Monday, but I don't believe what Muhammad said about politics on Tuesday. I mean, there's certain arguments people make, but it's a difficult proposition.
Yeah, and it's not really that permissible within Islam, and that's why a lot of Muslims themselves have been murdered by other Muslims for trying to change what the faithful ought to be believing. So it's the reform of Islam seems to be a pretty tall mountain to climb.
Well, as for the reform efforts we've had so far, I mean, here in the United States and other Western countries, we've had, you know, Zudi Yasser leading up his American Islamic Forum for Democracy, and he has banded together with others to form a Muslim reform movement with, say, individuals like Farhanaz Isfahani, a former parliamentarian from Pakistan, people like Tawfiq Hamid, a former Egyptian member of, he was initially involved with actually the Islamic group in Egypt, this jihadist group, and was actually sort of prepared to go off, say, in the 80s to Afghanistan to be a jihadist, and later had a sort of a turning around in his own personal life. So, and then you have individuals from Europe, such as the Quilliam Foundation, involving Majid Nawi.
Let's pick up at this point and in all these different groups. We're talking with Andrew Harrod. He's, among other things, connected with the Lawfare Project as a fellow. And we're going to be right back and talk some more about Islam.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today with Andrew Harrod, a PhD, someone who has studied an awful lot about Islam, is connected with the Lawfare Project as a fellow, lawfareproject.org, actually. And I guess you're not unused to being the target of apologists of Islam. I saw a piece that you'd had up on Jihad Watch about one of your not-so-intense admirers, Nathan Lean. And he was taking issue with some of your views, and I think it's worth looking into what this guy was saying, because it seemed to me as I read that article that his objections, Mr. Lean's objections, were rather typical of the almost delusional apologist for Islam.
Well, yeah, Nathan Lean is a person who I've met a couple of times. He's a former research director at Georgetown University of the their bridge initiative that they have, which is supposedly against Islamophobia, as they call it, this really sort of totalitarian term that implies that there's somehow a rational fear, a prejudice, a bigotry in any and all opposition to Islam. And that's based out of Georgetown University's Saudi-funded Prince Al-Walid bin Talal Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding.
You know what? It just occurred to me that the mafia missed the boat. They should have coined a term, mafia phobia, and they should have started donating money to university chairs to study this problem of mafia phobia.
Well, perhaps a lot of people would say that having Gulf Shakes give money to universities is not that much different from having the mafia giving money. I mean, having Qatar, a big Muslim Brotherhood supporter, which is now under sanctions from its various Arab neighbors, having them funding. And in fact, they have there's one professor at Georgetown University, Tamara's son, who has her professorship there endowed by the Crown Prince of Qatar, as I've noted before in a past article. But yeah, Nathan Lean, he's really, as I describe in the article at Jihad Watch, called Nathan Lean, Twitter and I, he's really basically a sort of Southern Poverty Law Center clone and disciple. And it's really amazing sort of to interact with him on Twitter. He, this past summer, he all of a sudden came at me on Twitter, started following at me and just tweeting me all the time, criticizing my tweets. And we sort of had this back and forth arguments of tweets on Twitter, which you can read about it at the article at Jihad Watch. And it's interesting to note that he's really just sort of a typical leftist. For example, he says that he really doesn't care about religions. I started asking him very sort of doctrinal questions or such, and he says, oh, I just don't care. But he adopts a leftist perspective that Muslims supposedly are just simply this oppressed people, and that the reason why people criticize the Muslim faith is it's just sheer bigotry. That struck me as strange. He just says he doesn't care for the faith. And, of course, he adopts all the other progressive positions, like he's totally a hater of Israel, although he would deny it, but always slanders Israel as this apartheid state that engages in ethnic cleansing of Palestinians and simply has a Zionist ideology that just allows it to expel anyone. He, of course, in other parts I wasn't able to include in the article, he goes on about transphobia. He was all mad that Trump did not allow these gender confused individuals to serve in the military, and of course supports the whole LGBT agenda and thinks anyone's bigoted for opposing that. So it's very interesting actually getting to know him in this sense on Twitter.
It's part of a larger worldview then that rejects the whole Western order of civilization, and that may help explain why they're so willfully, in my opinion, willfully blind to the clear and present danger of Islam that is unchecked. If Islam is not confronted, it's imperialistic in its very nature. You read the Quran, and if you're a believer, you're supposed to kill people that don't agree with Muhammad. So how are we supposed to live in peace with people like that? And the critics like Nathan Lear who come at you, it seems to me, are living in a bubble, and they kind of the Rodney King view of self-defense and national defense, which boiled down to, can't we all just get along?
Well, Nathan Lean, perhaps, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, manifests what many have described as a red-green alliance. You have these sort of far-left groups on the one hand, people like Nathan Lean who openly say, oh, I really don't care about religion, and they support all these secular agendas of, you know, we have to call men women if they think they're women and let them use the restrooms and so forth, and we have to celebrate homosexuality and redefine marriage to include homosexuality and so forth. Seeking alliances precisely with Islamic groups, with Muslims, and it's really in many ways sort of an alliance of convenience. You can think of a lot of tactical advantages that they all have, a sort of a common enemy in a sort of a bourgeois,
yes,
Judeo-Christian Western society, and so they can come together to sort of seek a kind of chaotic suppression or disordering of that society from which various groups, either on the left or from this green part of the alliance, this Islamic part of the alliance, can profit, can obtain a certain position of predominance and protect their own interests. And
I
so you see that in Nathan Lean and...
You've really pinpointed something, the disordering of society, and it's promoted by the very people who are often in league with those who want to disarm their fellow American citizens. Now, how stupid is that? They want to break down the social fabric, open the door to Islamic terrorism, and yet at the very same time they're working in concert with people who are interested in throwing away the Second Amendment and disarming Americans. It's really quite a worldview that comes to those simultaneously self-destructive conclusions.
Well, yeah, if you throw in that element as well, that part of standard sort of leftist ideology is to have a disarmed citizenry, only have the government have guns, and of course, if, as the saying goes, if you make guns illegal, only a crime, a gun ownership, a crime, only criminals will have guns, which in the case of, say, jihadists coming into your country is indeed a dangerous proposition. So if all of these sort of agendas converge and succeed, if you think the Obama years were bad, then it's kind of look out for more chaos coming up ahead.
And the president has tried to deal with this to a certain extent, but it looks like he got beat back into retreat when he tried to insist on the genuine, thorough vetting of people coming from countries that have had a Islamic terrorist problem. Again, the deniers think, well, that's just being racist. Well, Islam is not a race. People of all different racial backgrounds adhere to Islam or have been subjected to Islam, maybe more appropriately said. And there's always an attempt to deflect any genuine criticism of what Islam teaches and what Islam does. It's really kind of concerning.
Well, that again gets back to this idea of using terms like white supremacy and neo-Nazis and links to groups like the Ku Klux Klan to suppress any sort of intellectual inquiry into ideas like Islam and to conflate this idea of Islam, any belief system, with people who would identify with Islam, with Muslims, and to say, well, if you criticize the belief system of Islam, then you're engaged in a prejudice which comes from Latin, meaning a prejudgment against people, and that's wrong. And that's hence why the term Islamophobia is so dangerous. It posits the supposed phobia, an irrational fear of Islam, and suggests that if you in any way, shape, or form criticize Islam, if you say a Christian on the one hand, or say an atheist like Bill Maher or Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins on the other hand, individuals who come under this scorn of Nathan Lean as well, then you have supposedly this phobia. So it's an attempt again to shut down debate.
We're coming up to a break. We're going to be back. We have another segment with Dr. Andrew Harrod of the...
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest today is Dr. Andrew Harrod of the Lawfare Project. He's written extensively on issues dealing with Islam, and in a way, I guess we could say Dr. Harrod has been trying to warn the West that we are under attack, that there's a war going on. It doesn't necessarily involve divisions of armed forces moving across the landscape in various countries or sending naval flotilla against the coasts of various countries, at least not yet. But intellectually, we have been under the attack, the rather dangerous attack, it seems, because the Muslim attack seems to understand that the left in this country has been preparing the way for them, and they've used many of the same concepts that are popular in the West, that you're some kind of a bigot if you criticize that which I believe. I'm only allowed to criticize what you believe, so shut up and listen to me. And that seems to be the direction, and certainly I'm delighted that you've shown that their invention of the word Islamophobia is one of those deflections designed to make those who can see what's happening afraid to speak, afraid to warn their fellow Americans or in the other parts of the West that, it looks like these guys really don't want to live and let live.
Well, indeed, the person in the United Kingdom about a year ago who took a role in really promoting the term Islamophobia back in the 1990s at the Runnymede Trust in the United Kingdom later turned around and regretted having done that and said, look, I've discovered in the intervening time that there really are a lot of problems with Muslim communities integrating in the United Kingdom into British society. So that's one example, but the term, you can read about it at a Front Page magazine online. They have a booklet called Islamophobia, Thought Crime of the Totalitarian Future, if I remember correctly the title. And they
Great
go into
title.
The history of the term Islamophobia and show how the nefarious groups that were behind it, like the Islamic International Institute of Islamic Thought, IIIT, in Herndon, Virginia, that helped develop and propagate that term as a sort of totalitarian cudgel to shut down all debate.
You know, one of the things that I've taken away from the mass murder that occurred in Las Vegas, you and I are recording this show not long after that story broke, and whether or not the dirtbag that did the mass murder there was in fact a Muslim convert, ISIS, the Islamic State, if you will, took credit for it. So whether or not the guy really was Muslim, they thought it was really great that a guy kills all these scores of people. That's what they're in. That's what they like.
Well, indeed, the groups like ISIS, one of their objectives is to just sort of sow terror, sow chaos throughout societies like the United States, and to exert political pressure that way to say force a country like Spain to pull out of a military action like in 2004 with supporting then the Iraq coalition after overthrowing Saddam Hussein or something like that.
It's a form of disarmament that starts in the head, and I'm afraid these folks are pretty good at it. The left has been, they did it when the Soviet Union was a threat to world peace. And if you didn't get all in for communism, you were somehow an anti-communist bigot. And you just didn't understand. And actually, you were dangerous. You were destabilizing the world order. And I think that same concept seems to exist now in this current discussion about Islam. And it's as if we're going to make them mad and really misbehave and be really dangerous if we point out the shortcomings and the failures and the dangers of Islam.
Well, there's a parallel message there. I mean, you think of Kant in the Cold War and people like Mondale and Jimmy Carter. I mean, the argument there was that, well, if we seek to be less aggressive towards the communist bloc, then their fears will reduce and that, you know, we're then really a driver of instability. It's our actions that are driving such hostility. And so similarly, there's an argument then that, well, if we seek a modus vivendi with majority Muslim nations around the world and say apologize or try to rectify whatever sins the West might have done, then those are also, again, drivers of conflict that we can take away. In both cases, it's an outlook that denies any sort of fundamental hostility, any sort of fundamentally supremacist ideology in the other entity, be it the communist bloc on the one hand or the ideology of Islam on the other hand throughout the Muslim majority world.
They're not there unless they develop as a reaction to our concerns about what they've already been doing. It is an amazing way of thinking, and I hadn't really thought that much about it, but it really does seem to have started with the advent of the Soviet Union as a world player and a danger to world peace. And you anti-communists are the reason that the Soviet Union is building up all these defensive means of warfare and its large army and its missiles ultimately. And it's all your fault. And again, it's the same thing why these Muslims would kind of go off and live by themselves if we weren't pointing to the mass murders that they commit. Have we forgotten what they did on September 11 at the World Trade Towers? That was a pretty significant number of people that died in a few seconds thanks to Islam and the hatred that it preaches.
Well, I guess for the left, in both cases of the Cold War on the one hand and Islam today, you know, there's this common belief of the left that the West is really guilty. I mean, sort of blame the West first and always sort of seeking Western guilt, blame America first. So there's this common tie there that they would always look to the West as the source of such hostility and see other attacks as sort of the actions of others as somewhat justified. I mean, precisely with September 11th, of course, you had various arguments voiced indeed by Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, who later went on to fund this Georgetown Center, that, you know, we were complicit in the attack because of our policies towards Israel and elsewhere in the Muslim world, say, supporting authoritarian regimes. So there's a longstanding tendency among the left to point the finger at ourselves and to deny agency on the part of others and for their ideologies and beliefs and behaviors.
Another example of pointing the finger at ourselves, in a way, is a person identified as a top legal executive at CBS. Her name is Haley Geftman Gold. Said, quote, she is not even sympathetic, end quote, for the victims of the shooting at a country music festival at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas on Sunday. And the reason she has no sympathy is because those people, quote, often are Republican gun toters, end quote. Now, with that kind of self-loathing, no wonder we're not very effective in dealing with Islamic terrorism.
And that's, of course, one example among many. Years ago, I wrote an article about Karen Armstrong and others speaking at Georgetown University. Karen Armstrong is this former British nun, now sort of leftist icon who fancies herself a great scholar of religion. And she's really put out all these books that Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch has accurately described as just really sheer garbage on Islam. But it posited all of these myths that Muhammad was seeking a just war theory and Islam's just totally benign. But at this event at Georgetown University, she talked about September 11th as wanting to provoke in her a sense of just mourning that we should have, on September 11th in the United States and the rest of the West, we should have just mourned sort of all the suffering of the world and the involvement of America and other countries in the suffering of, say, Iraq under sanctions because of the Saddam Hussein regime. And also, it was this view that, you know, we should just sort of understand Al-Qaeda doing this because it's just part of the sort of rage of the world at large and of Muslims in particular against the hardship and injustices of the world stemming from the West. So that's not unusual.
You might say these people are America firsters, but you have to finish the expression, blame America firsters. Once we blamed America, we've answered all questions and presumably know what to do after that. I'm afraid what these people would have us do is sit down and wait to be shot by a jihadi or something like that. Dr. Andrew Harrod of the Lawfare Project, lawfareproject.org, really thank you for what you all are doing and for bringing light to this subject. I hope we can do this again.
Oh, it was excellent being here.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters. Starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available, comfortable interiors, and state-of-the-art air filtration systems, Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now, or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.